Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a hell nah, brother, to this particular trade package. There are, The Athletic took a group of writers, Tony Jones, Sam Vecenie, Eric Nehm. Eric Nehm is the beat writer for the Milwaukee Bucks. He was the judge, jury, and executioner for all these different transactions. And David Aldridge, DA, all-time legend. Basically doing the primer for Milwaukee Bucks trade packages that could potentially be out there for Giannis Antetokounmpo. And they did a couple different teams. I was going to walk through kind of the myriad of transactions here. It starts with Giannis to San Antonio, which I think San Antonio can put together a very good package, but it's going to cost them basically everything not nailed down, named De'Aaron Fox and Wemby. That's where, at least where I sit. The trade they put together, it is a three-way deal, and you're going to see this pop up, I think, a lot in transactions, where one of New Orleans or Portland will be involved. They control the Milwaukee Bucks draft future. I've been saying
pick swaps all around.
I have been saying this since it became a thing that was gathering momentum. Do not be surprised to see Portland or New Orleans or both participate in this transaction, because depending on what the Bucks get back, if they're going to reset and go young, they need their picks.
Yep.
So there's leverage for both New Orleans and Portland to get something done here. First package, it involves the Bucks, Pelicans, and Spurs. The Bucks would get, from combined from both teams, Zion, Keldon Johnson, a 2025 first-round pick from the Spurs, which is from the Hawks, a 2027 first-round pick swap rights with the Pelicans, 2029 first-round pick from the Spurs. That swap right is their own
coming back. Yeah.
The Pelicans would get Devin Vassell, Jeremy Sochan, Pat Connaughton, and the 2027 first-round pick that the Spurs got from the Hawks in the Murray deal.
Now, it should be noted that over the next, is it seven drafts, Spurs have 37 picks.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's first and seconds and
but they have
varying levels of picks.
They have a ton of draft capital over the next seven drafts.
And the Spurs would get Giannis in the steal. And Eric Nehm, again, judge, jury, and executioner. His reaction: this is nowhere near enough for Antetokounmpo. Williamson, while incredibly talented, is nothing more than a lottery ticket. In six seasons, he's played 214 of 472 games. We know that's at. Basically, Nehm is saying, no, not enough.
Because, now, who are the names that they actually get?
The Bucks? Philly?
Yeah.
The guys they would actually get.
Milwaukee.
The two players they would get are Zion and Keldon Johnson.
Mm.
No.
Zion, really?
That's not
I know
enough.
That's all New Orleans has got, but come on.
That and then enough. They would get some of their draft capital and a little bit of draft capital. There's no premium asset in there.
That ain't it, dog.
Okay. This one was put together because, again, I don't think this is anywhere close to happening. But based on intel, Giannis wants to go to a big market. So Giannis to Philly is discussed. The Bucks would get Paul George, Jared McCain, a 2025 first, a 2028 first from the Clippers, a pick swap from the Clippers, and a 2030 first, and the Sixers would get Giannis. Nehm basically says, hell no, God no.
No.
No. It's a hard no. He says, this is insulting. The Bucks will be taking positive assets only in any trade conversation.
Yeah, you're not taking Paul George. Not doing it.
Here's one. I saw some Raptors fans like, oh, the Raptors should go after Giannis Antetokounmpo, but I'm like, so they can give up Scotty Barnes? Because you're not keeping him. Are you out of your mind?
That's the only asset that anybody would want.
Yeah, and so here's a trade package for Toronto. Giannis to Toronto, just two-team transaction. The Bucks would get Scotty Barnes, RJ Barrett, because you got to make the salary work, because Giannis makes a crap ton, Grady Dick, 2027 first, 2029 first, 2031 first, all top one protected. 2028 pick swap and a 2030 swap between the Milwaukee with the second choice of the Bucks, Blazers, and Raptors, because there is a pick swap bundle in 2030. And the Raptors would get Giannis and Kyle Kuzma. Nem said there will be no protections on any picks sent in any trade for Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Nope.
Giannis is not on an expiring deal. It's multiple years left on his deal, and he's in his prime, and he just had another season where he averaged 30, 12, and 6.
And by the way, that 2031 pick, that would be part of this deal that Milwaukee would get. What year did the Blazers get the Bucks first-round pick?
Ding, 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 ding.
2031.
Here's the one that brings in the Portland Trailblazers. And this is not the transaction I would go down, but it is the manner of which Portland would peel something off in a trade that involved Giannis. To me, the two teams that I think Portland would want to be involved with are Houston and Orlando. Those are the two teams that I would look at as the player, as teams that have players the Blazers would like to acquire. The trade. The Bucks would get Amen Thompson, which I'm telling you right now, I just don't see the Rockets doing it, even for Giannis. They can have anyone else on that roster. I don't see them giving up Amen, but that they put him in here. Amen Thompson, Jalen Green, because they have to make the salary work, Cam Whitmore, Donovan Clingan, a 2025 first via Phoenix, Phoenix's 2027 first, the 2029 first of the most favorable of Milwaukee, Portland, and Washington. That is the one that Portland controls.
Yep, Portland has that.
And the Washington Wizards have the second most valuable pick in that draft. Portland owns right now the first and the third. That was part of the Denny Avdia trade. And then 2028 and 2030, Milwaukee swap rights extinguished, which the Blazers own. Okay? The Rockets would get Giannis and Jeremy Grant. So if you're paying attention now, that's so Donovan Clingan, Jeremy Grant, and all of the Bucks capital back.
Okay.
The Blazers would get Alperen Şengün and Jacques Landale.
Şengün I like, mm-hmm. but at the risk of all of those. Now, the one that is sneaky in this is that 2029 most favorable pick from Milwaukee, mm-hmm. Portland, Washington, because Washington is in that.
Yes.
Washington is in that. And if you do this deal, Milwaukee won't be the one that has the most favorable pick.
Milwaukee would be.
No. I'm saying, or if you don't, like if you do
you do this trade, yeah.
I mean, you're basically sitting there and saying, Milwaukee, you're going to be good again.
Well, goodish.
Yeah. Washington, that's a great one to have, because do we have any faith that Washington is going to figure it out? Even though they started to at the end of this past year, that is a franchise that is poorly run right now. And getting Şengün, that's attractive, but at the same time,
you're losing most of your capital.
And you're losing Donovan Clingan.
Mm-hmm.
You're losing your center, and you're shipping out Jeremy Grant. That's going to happen this year.
You're getting
a
center
anyway.
Back, and you're getting a very getting good a center. And Şengün is a very good center. But when we talk about salary cap allocations, Şengün's on a pretty good deal. He's on a pretty good deal. I'm going to pull it up because I know his and Jalen Green's are a little bit different.
But no draft picks for the Blazers.
From the Dame trade, all of your Dame trade goes out the door for Alperen Şengün.
Yeah, you're literally giving up, I would say, two good players and all of your other assets and getting none back except a player. And I don't know how long his contract lasts, but then the Blazers are probably going to have to turn around and give him more money.
No, Şengün's locked up. They gave Jalen the 3-year deal with the option. It was kind of like a weird, like, hey, if you prove it, great. If not, we're going to rinse our hands of you. Şengün got the 5-year deal.
Okay.
But he didn't get the full crazy max. He got, it was 5 years, 5,185. So his average annual salary is about 37, 38. Like right now, I think it's 37 is the exact number. But he starts at 33, just short of 34 next year. His player option in 29-30 is 39, which as a percentage of the cap, his deal goes from 22% next year of the total cap down to 17.2%. percent of the cap in 2029-30. Here's the thing. I like Şengün, and he actually is a good defender. Like, even though you don't think of him as being a good defender because he's kind of heavy-footed, slow feet, quick brain. He's actually okay as a rim protector. But if the Blazers were to do this, like, that's it, man.
Yeah, you've spent your
like. The other assets you have to work with are Shea, Scoot, Two, Denny, Ant.
Yep.
That's it. And keep in mind, you still have a $35 million expiring contract of DeAndre Ayton.
Bingo. And this is that's going to be the interesting part about Milwaukee and if Portland's involvement in it.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
Because they're going to want the pick swaps back, which, okay, but what are you going to be getting in return? DeAndre Ayton seems like the piece that may be going in this because you could send, instead of Jeremy Grant in this deal, DeAndre Ayton, and it's 1 year, right? Jeremy Grant has got, what, two or three left on his deal?
Yeah, three.
Three?
Yeah.
So the expiring big deal in DeAndre Ayton, probably more attractive for Milwaukee because they need to, they're not going to be winning next year. They're looking for the future and you need fresh bodies. Brooke Lopez is old and he is, his contract is up right now. They need a big, you can get a serviceable big that is in there. You send DeAndre Ayton in that. That one would make more sense as part of this deal than sending Donovan Klingon and sending Jeremy Grant out.
Look, I know people feel a certain way about Jeremy. There are a handful of teams that still want Jeremy Grant. I know that to be true. Now, whether or not the Blazers want those packages or not, that's up for them to decide. But here's what Nem had to say about this. I still need some more in this package, but this is getting pretty close. Eric Nem is about as in tight with the Bucks as anybody is with a team in the league. Nem is thoroughly entrenched. He has a great relationship with the front office and with Giannis Antetokounmpo. So I say that to preface this. So Sam Vecenie is the one that came up with this trade, and he goes, Sam was right to get the Bucks back in control of their picks from the Blazers between 2028 and 30. I think that is one of the most valuable things the Bucks can acquire in any Antetokounmpo trade because getting rid of one of the best players on the planet while not controlling your picks is bad business. This is why I keep reiterating the value of the Blazers owning the Bucks' future. Whatever they do, they're going to call Portland.
Portland's got to be in it. You have to use that leverage, though, to not give up Donovan Klingon and the pick that you're getting from them anyway.
Picks.
Well,
because there's swaps. Because you don't control it. Because if you're going to be bad, the Blazers are like, great. Great. Well, look, the Houston Rockets, they have a lottery pick this year because of the Phoenix Suns.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's what, top four protected? Or tops?
No, I think there's only top four because the Sixers was top six. But actually, no, I believe that one's unprotected. The Sixers was only top six. Yeah, because the Rockets can win the lottery and get Cooper Flagg.
I mean, Danny, you're way more in tune with the NBA circles than I am, so maybe you can help me understand why it just seems like this is almost the same message that Portland got during the Dame trade was that we don't want to give you assets for anything. And essentially, Portland is going to be left with nothing doing this. Why do people in the national media keep thinking they'd even consider something like this?
I don't think the Blazers would go down this lane.
Boy, it is unprotected.
Yeah. No, that's what I'm saying with the Suns having trouble filling that general manager spot. Yeah, nobody wants that Suns future because they don't control any of it.
Boy.
Remember, they traded that one first of their own to the Jazz and got three firsts back. And the Jazz are sitting there going, good, good, good.
What a time to be alive.
But I say all of this. Nem goes further. It says, any trade offer from the Rockets will require Thompson. The packages I've received, there's an argument to be made that Thompson is the best asset because of his insane defensive ability, super athleticism, age, and contract. But I'd be curious to see if I could also acquire Tari Eason or Jabari Smith Jr. Green is the deal in this problem in this deal. He's only 23, and there may be some upside there, but his contract extension kicks in next season, and it's unclear if he's going to be worth the raise. Those two names he mentioned before that, though, Jabari Smith Jr., Tari Eason. If I'm the Blazers, if I'm not able to peel off Amen or I can't get Şengün for less than this,
yep.
That's what I'm looking to peel off. what have the Blazers built themselves around? Big, multi-dimensional, long, rangy, athletic wings.
Yeah.
That's what, if I'm the Blazers, that's what I'm looking to peel off.
Oh, boy.
Look, I'll go a step further. If the Milwaukee Bucks, because Orlando's a team that I've heard has kicked around the idea of Giannis.
Yeah.
If I'm the Blazers and Franz Wagner is a part of that package, now the Bucks are going to want premium if they're the ones not getting Franz in this. If I'm the Blazers, if Franz is on the table, I'm going, Blazers, we have your draft future. Bucks, we'll give you that, and we'll give you Shaedon Sharpe. And we'll give you more on top of that. Like, if you're telling me it costs you Shaedon, because you got to put DA or Grant in there for the salary, so pick your poison there. All of their capital, their draft capital, plus an additional pick in the future for Franz, I'd do it. And your lineup going forward is some version of two Franz Denny. That's your core. You're in a similar spot that the Magic are in without shooting, but you've got Ant in the meantime, and you just try to make something work there. That's the route I'd go.
You do put yourself in a pickle, though, because in this, are you saying you hold on to Klingon?
Yes.
Okay, so Klingon.
If that's the deciding aspect of it, if you're talking about getting a guy like Franz, who's 25-5-5,
yeah,
who's a pick and roll savant, a primary creator, the shooting is a problem.
That's a big problem in the NBA.
It is.
Got to have shooters.
But if you're telling me my starting lineup has three of Tumani Kamara, Franz Wagner, and Denny Avdija, 6'8", 6'9", 6'9", and the problems that those guys present.
You're long, rangy, and athletic.
And you're young, and you're controlled. There are worse problems to have.
Yeah. Still need that bona fide star. Franz goes a long way to helping mm-hmm. you get more stable. And as we were talking about yesterday, raising the floor. But you still got your question marks that are mm-hmm. looming.
And the Bucks in this scenario would end up with Shaedon and either Jeremy or DA.
Yeah.
All of that draft capital. If you want to put Donovan in there, okay. And then probably Anthony Black and more draft capital from the Magic.
Yeah, but I also think that is not using your leverage that you have to the furthest extent.
You think so?
Yeah. Yeah, because you just said all of that draft capital is going out.
I think if
you're saying all of the everything is going out.
I'm talking about not every pick they have. I'm talking about all of the Bucks capital.
So that includes all of the swaps and the first round pick.
I would for a player of Franz's ability, I would do that. I would give the Bucks their capital back.
Yeah, I'd give them the swaps.
Mm-hmm.
I'd try to squeeze ounce that you can.
I would too.
They're going to have to buckle at some point.
But that's when I talk about the Blazers and the potential they have to peel something off, there's lesser levels and there's bigger levels. It's all about a sliding scale of kind of what comes out of that.
The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.